Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The gospel that we heard today is from Luke's gospel, chapter 14. Now, we've been reading from chapter 14 for the past several weeks. Jesus right now is headed to Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross, and he knows that. And therefore, his time is limited with his apostles and his disciples. And he's teaching them and us essentially what we need in our life, what we need to do to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Remember last week, Jesus warned us about the dangers of pride and ambition and honor. Well, you could say chapter 14 is dedicated to us, in which the whole chapter is about how we or what we need in our life to faithfully follow Jesus. Now, this week, Jesus, he engages shock therapy, I would say. You could say he drops a spiritual bomb on us. He says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the first thing you're probably saying to yourself is, how dare you? How dare you tell me that I have to hate my family in order to follow you? Or you might be scratching your head and you're saying, well, wait a second. You know, this was the same guy that told us that we have to love everyone and that we even have to love our enemies. Remember what Jesus says, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. And now he tells us that we have to hate the closest people that we have in our life? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Well, therefore, we have to be very careful on how we interpret this instruction by Jesus. I think the best way for us to begin to understand the message that Jesus is trying to communicate to us is asking us the simple question, are you happy? Are you truly happy? And not a giddy happy, no. Do you really have a sense of happiness deep within your soul? Do you have a sense of joy and peace? There's a story about St. John Vianney, who's patron saint of parish priests. There's stories in which John Vianney would hear confessions for 12, maybe even 16 hours a day, every day. And he did that for decades and decades. Well, towards the end of his life, someone asked him, what's the wisdom that you can take from hearing all these confessions? What he said was really interesting. He said, people are truly sadder than they seem. I'll say that again. People are truly sadder than they seem. And so then it leads us to another question. Maybe our understanding of happiness is all wrong. Maybe what we think is happiness isn't what we really think. Instead, it's possibly that we're in the grips of an illusion. The illusion that says, I will be happy when, and just fill in the blank. Now, we've all heard people say this. You know, I will be happy when I get that promotion at work. Then I'll be satisfied. I'll be happy when I move into that bigger house. Then I'll be happy and satisfied. Or I will be happy when I have the admiration of my coworkers and they see all the good work that I do. See, the problem with that is then when I feel that way, well, then I have to fill up my ego with the attachments or the goods of this world, thinking that they are going to make me happy. And the hard spiritual truth, these goods, the attachments of this world will never make us happy. Now, we all know the routine. Whatever it is that we or will, what will make us happy, whether it's power, honor, wealth, fame, fortune, notoriety, you know, we get a little bit or a little taste of that and it feels great, doesn't it? Our life is elevated. We feel that rush. but it doesn't last very long. It quickly goes away. And so we want more and more and more. Well, the danger is now my whole life is consumed with filling my life with these goods. And so that could be the reason why so many people are unhappy. Now, here's the secret, and I think this is what Jesus is trying to teach us. You know, right here, right now, at Mass, we have everything that we need to be happy. Think of it. Every time we come to Mass, we are in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Holy Trinity. But it doesn't stop there. You know, at Mass, we believe that heaven and earth are united in the most powerful way. And so at Mass, the saints and the angels, they're all around us. You know, we address them specifically in the prayers of the Mass, in which we blend our voices with them, praising God together. And so we recognize that presence. And then at communion, we come forward and we are given that sacred meal that God intended to share with us from the very beginning of time and space. And within the context of that sacred meal, God shares his life with us. And in doing so, we stand before God in that loop of grace that God has given us. And in doing so, our faith becomes stronger. And every time we come to Mass, that happens. Our faith becomes stronger and stronger. And we receive all the graces and all the blessings of what God has given us in the Eucharist. That truly is the source of happiness. And nothing else in this world can take the place of that. Now, that reminds me of a book. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. It was written by Viktor Frankl in 1946. Now, Viktor Frankl was a survivor of Auschwitz, the concentration camp. And what's interesting, what he noted in this book, he said there were some people, prisoners now, some people in Auschwitz that were actually happy, that had a spirit of joy and peace. Now, we have to realize Auschwitz was probably one of, if not the, worst concentration camps the Nazis ever created. People were deprived of everything, especially the things that the world tells us will make us happy. And yet he writes in this book, there were people there that had a sense of inner peace and inner joy. That was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God within their soul. And that radiated, and other people saw that, and they clung to that. That gave them strength in the midst of terrible atrocities that happened in Auschwitz and other concentration camps. And that was one thing the Nazis could never take away from them. You know, that reminds me of the story of Edith Stein. Edith Stein, during World War II, was a Carmelite nun. And one day, the Nazis broke into her convent and arrested her and a fellow sister. They took her and put her on a cattle car, and she went to Auschwitz. Now, she knew that she was going to Auschwitz, and therefore she knew that as soon as she got there, she probably would be executed immediately because she was a Catholic nun. That's what the Nazis did to the religious. And yes, after just a few days there, she was executed. Now, what's so amazing about this is people that survived Auschwitz and were witnesses to Edith Stein in that cattle car said she exuded the sense of peace about her. You could see the sense of inner joy and inner peace when everyone else was panicking and full of fear. She was there very peaceful, very joyful. And guess what? She began to minister to those people on that cattle car. Now you say, well, how can this be? You know, she's in a cattle car. She's deprived of everything. And yet, it doesn't make a difference. Edith Stein had that inner peace, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that was a sense of joy for her. And therefore, she wanted to share that with other people in the midst of their misery and terror. She became a bearer of God's love for others in that car that were traveling to Auschwitz. Now you say, well, how is this possible? Well, go and listen to that last line in the gospel for today. It says, anyone who does not renounce his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, St. Ignatius of Loyola wrote extensively about this. He talks about the spiritual discipline of the indifferentia, essentially detaching ourselves from all the goods of this world. And in doing so, then we are truly free. And then we have that sense of inner peace and joy that can come only from God and His presence in our life. So the person that practices the indifferentia says, Lord, I don't care if I live on that mansion on top of that hill or in that tiny tin shack in the valley. It doesn't make any difference to me as long as I can love and serve you. Or the person says, you know, I don't care if I'm the most popular person in the entire country or I'm a social nobody. It doesn't make a difference as long as I can love and serve the Lord. That's the indifferentia. Now, the shock therapy that Jesus uses today, we find that in our spiritual tradition. There are times we need to be shocked out of the false way of seeing things in this world. So Jesus is telling us, don't attach your things to those things that you're convinced will make you happy, or the world tells you will make you happy. Instead, practice the indifferentia and realize every time we come to Mass, we have everything that we need to make us happy. We have all of God's grace and blessings. We have the sacred meal. We have sharing a life with God. That's the true source of happiness. That's what gives us inner peace, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. One last thing. Our church speaks to us how original sin darkens the mind and skews the will. Therefore, because we're tainted by sin, we think about things and we choose things the wrong way. Now, here's the good news. Jesus knows this. That's why sometimes he uses this shock therapy to shock us out of this way of thinking. And in doing so, then yes, we see the world the way Jesus does. And we come to believe that Jesus Christ is the true source of happiness. And that is something no one can ever take away from us. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.